in 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to be looking at Paul's challenge concerning the resurrection. And this weekend, obviously with it being Easter, we're celebrating the resurrection, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. You know, on Friday night, we had a great time. Last night, we had a great time of remembering the cross. You know, it honestly, for me, it gets me every time when I think about the fact that while Jesus was on the cross, he could have come down from the cross, right? He could have spoke, he could have called the legions of angels to take him off the cross, yet he didn't, right? He stayed. He was faithful to the end. But of course, we know that his story doesn't end there. You know, he stayed on the cross because he had prayed the night before, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." Right? He prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." And really, just kind of tying in what we've been talking about the last few weeks, we just finished up a series called Kingdom of Me. And Jesus' prayer in the garden, which led to his death on the cross, should be a prayer for all of us, right? "Father, not my will, but your will be done." Thankfully, as we know, Jesus did not end on the cross. Though he cried, "It is finished," he himself was not finished, right? On the third day, he was physically resurrected from the dead, which is why we celebrate Easter, okay? So it's important to understand that Jesus physically died, like he didn't, I know I bring this up every Easter now, I've mentioned this, but he didn't swoon, he didn't go into a coma, he died, right? He died. He physically died, and on the third day he physically rose from the dead, okay? So with Easter in mind, with the resurrection in mind, a couple of questions to think about as we get started with this tonight. How has the resurrection affected your life? Okay? For you, is it just another event in human history? Is it just another religious holiday in a list full of holidays? And a really important question, would your life be any different if the resurrection hadn't happened? Have you ever thought about what would have happened had Jesus not been resurrected? Right? And is there really a difference in your life if it hadn't? These are some of the questions that I think it's important for us to ask and think about tonight as we talk about the resurrection. And really, it's my desire for us all to see that the resurrection truly changes everything. Right? The resurrection truly changes everything. So we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 15. We're actually going to read 1 through 20. It says this, "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," which is Peter, "then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Verse 7, "then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." This is Paul speaking. "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe." Now here's the tough part on the resurrection. Verse 12, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. Verse 16. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have also fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you, God, what your word is saying to us and has said to us. God, I pray that tonight as we look at the resurrection, Lord, would you come, Holy Spirit, and help us to see how the resurrection changes everything. Lord, will we truly be able to answer the question tonight, how has the resurrection affected my life? And help us to see how it does change everything. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have Paul reminding the believers in Corinth about the gospel. Right? He starts off and walks through the fact that Jesus died, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. Right? He went through the basic synopsis of the gospel. He mentions a couple of times that this was done in accordance with the scriptures. So not only did he say, yes, this is what Jesus did, but he did it in accordance with what was written throughout the Old Testament, throughout the scriptures. He was confirming, you know, that he was reminding them that this what Jesus did, his death and his resurrection, was prophesied. He then goes into reminding them how after Jesus was raised from the dead, he appeared to several different people, including 500 witnesses. Okay, 500 witnesses. And then eventually, as we know Paul's story, Jesus appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. What Paul was doing here, he was building a foundation, letting the believers know and understand that the gospel that they had been told, the cross, the death, the resurrection, it was all true. Okay, it was all true. In fact, there were several hundred people, as we mentioned, that could attest to the fact of his resurrection. But why was he doing this? Why was he going over this again, right? Because apparently there were some people that were a part of the Corinthian church that were either there were people teaching it, or their culture, their society was saying there is no resurrection from the dead. Okay, so we don't exactly know. Some theologians think it was some people actually in Corinth, in their culture, in their city that were proclaiming this, that were teaching this. Some people think it was people within the church. Either way, whoever was doing it, Paul was saying, hey guys, this isn't right. Okay? This actually happened, and the resurrection actually occurred. Okay? And he goes into this explanation of if it didn't happen, right? If the resurrection, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then guess what? We're in trouble. Okay? We're in trouble. And he goes through, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. He goes on to explain the implications of not believing in the resurrection, or not believing that there is resurrection from the dead. He basically lays out the error in this teaching and this thought process. Why? Because the resurrection truly does change everything. Okay? Think about it. You take out the resurrection, you take out Jesus' resurrection, and you strip Christianity of its life and its hope. Right? You strip out the empty tomb and you strip out life and hope. If you take the resurrection out of the equation, then all we have left, as Paul said, all we have left is a faith that is in vain, a God surrounded by lies, right? If you take out the resurrection, then all we have is we are still dead in our sins, and all we have to hope for is what is here in front of us in this life. That's what happens when you take out the resurrection. So those are the four things we're going to look at really quick tonight. How if there is no resurrection, our faith is in vain, right? If there is no resurrection, then we're just telling lies about God. If there is no resurrection, then we're still dead in our sins. And if there is no resurrection, then what we have before us in this life is all we have to hope for. Okay? So with the first one, no resurrection, our faith is in vain. Right? As Christians, our lives are to be built on faith in Jesus. Right? Our lives are to be built on faith in Jesus. We've mentioned over and over and over here at Destiny of that, how when we become believers in Jesus, we give Him our lives. Right? We give Him our lives. We don't simply add Him to our life. We don't simply add Him to our life like we would add an appetizer to a meal or add a texting plan to our cell phone package. But I think so often we try to do that, right? We try to just add God and we try to sprinkle in God where we want Him to be. Instead, He's asking us to give Him us completely, right? And for us to receive Him completely. We don't add Him to our life. He actually becomes our life. Paul tells us in Colossians 3:4, he says, "For you have died." He's speaking to believers. He says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Your life is hidden with Christ in God. So our belief in God isn't just added to our life. It actually should become our life. So for us to take the resurrection out of the picture, what Paul is saying then is our faith is in vain. Right? There is no foundation. There's nothing to it. It's dead, is what he's saying here. It's worthless. You know, it's kind of like if you take a house, right? You take a house and you remove the foundation. What happens? The house is going to fall down, right? There's no backing to it. There is no foundation. Or kind of loosely, it's like, you know, when you do your laundry and you're folding your socks and then you have all of these random socks lying around. I remember growing up having to, one of my chores was doing laundry. Son. Anyways, one of my chores was doing laundry, and I remember my mom having this collection of socks, random socks, that kept adding up, right? One of the socks, the dryer would randomly eat a sock, and the other sock would still be there, and its partner being gone. Well, eventually, right, we had all these extra socks, none of them matched, so they were worthless, right? It's kind of that taking away. Whenever we take out the resurrection of our faith, everything else is worthless, okay? Our faith is then in vain. It's the same here. Paul is saying that if there is no resurrection, that our faith, it doesn't matter what we believe, our faith is in vain. Without the resurrection, our faith is pointless. What this could also speak to is the supernatural side of things to our faith, right? Our faith is supernatural, right? It is supernatural. We don't just have faith in a good man who walked the earth 2,000 years ago that did good things and taught good teachings. Our faith is in the Son of God, the one who was born supernaturally to a virgin, who lived a sinless life, who performed miracle after miracle after miracle, right? Well, a lot of times, it seems that people like to focus on the natural dynamic, the natural side of Jesus, but really there's this whole other supernatural side to Jesus. Right? How many people did he raise from the dead? How many blind eyes did he open? Right? So if we're taking the resurrection, another supernatural event, if we take that out of the picture, right, then we're sucking all of the supernatural out of it. When we believe in Jesus, we can't just pick and choose what parts of his story that we like and then ignore the rest. Right? Jesus was a man, but he was also God. He was human and he was divine. He was natural and he was supernatural. If we take away the resurrection, then we start to peel away the supernatural, and all we're left with is a good man who did some really good things, who eventually died a premature, wrongful death. And to me, that's pretty lame, right? If that's all it is, right? The resurrection changes everything. The resurrection proves that God works both naturally and supernaturally in our lives. And the resurrection proves that we can put our faith in Jesus. Okay? So Paul says, if there is no resurrection, then our faith is in vain. Secondly, he says, basically, if there is no resurrection, then we're lying about God. Okay? We're just surrounded by all of these lies. I'm going to read verse 15 once more. It says, we are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. So basically he says, if there is no resurrection, then we lie. Right? We're liars, is what he's saying. If there is no resurrection, then we have lied. So not only is our faith dependent on the resurrection, but what we say about God and the truth about God rests in the resurrection as well. In the beginning verses of this chapter, we see Paul saying that all of what happened to Jesus was foretold by Scripture, including the resurrection. So if Jesus wasn't resurrected, then that means that he lied about God. You know, this lying about things and then finding out, if it really were true that Paul had been lying, that we had been lied to, you know, it really stinks when you find out the truth that you've been lied to, doesn't it? Like for instance, as a kid, Hannah was telling me a story the other day about how when her mom was a kid, and it was her birthday, and she found out that on her birthday she was going to have to get some of her immunization shots. And so she was so distraught and upset that on her birthday she was going to have to get shots, right? So her mom, what did her mom tell? Oh, it won't hurt a bit, right? It won't hurt at all, right? Well, what happened? She gets there and it hurt, right? And she felt lied to. She felt like she had been betrayed, right? So what Paul is saying here is if there is no resurrection, then we lie, right? We flat out lie. But God hasn't lied, and the gospel that we've been given is true, right? That's why Paul reiterated how many people actually saw Jesus raised from the dead, right? On the basis of the resurrection alone, we can believe Jesus is who he says he is, and that he does what he says he will do. He is faithful to the end, he is steadfast, and he doesn't change. You know, for some of us, though, maybe it feels like God has lied to us. Maybe we're here and we're kind of feeling that like God has lied, or that we've been told lies about God. Maybe it's because what you were told hasn't happened, or it seems like you've been left out in the cold. Okay, if that is you, I don't know what you've been told necessarily, but know this: based on the resurrection, okay, based on the resurrection, you can hope in God. You can put your hope in God. God is not a man that he should lie. There have been so many lies told about God throughout history, but that doesn't change the fact that he's still God, and that he's still true, and that he's good, and that he is able to be trusted. See, the resurrection does change everything. The resurrection is true, which proves God is true and that he can be trusted. So without the resurrection, our faith is in vain. Without the resurrection, we have lies. Thirdly, without the resurrection, we're still dead in our sins. Okay? Here's another big one. If Jesus didn't defeat death, hell, and the grave, then we are still dead in our sins, because Jesus would still be dead. Right? The stone would still be in front of the tomb, and Jesus' body would have rotted in the grave. Here Paul is painting the picture of the importance of understanding that the cross and the empty tomb go hand in hand, right? The cross and the empty tomb go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. Anybody remember that song? Love and marriage, right?
Yeah.
You can't have one without the other. Anybody watch the TV show, Don't Raise Your Hand, right? And that was the TV show that I would sneak watching at my grandma's house when my parents went around. Sorry, Mom and Dad, if you're listening. But anybody ever watch Wheel of Fortune? Anybody, any Wheel of Fortune fans? Is it still going?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry. Well, you know how on Wheel of Fortune where there's one of the slices on the wheel that when someone gets it, right, they get to attach it to their little kiosk with their money sign and everything. But then if they don't win the actual round, then they lose it, right? So in order to get that prize, you need the other, you need to win the round, right? It's the same with the cross and the resurrection. They go hand in hand. We need both. The cross of Jesus was crucial to our salvation, and so is the empty tomb. Jesus not only paid the price for our sin, but paved the way for us to live. There's actually a passage I want us all to look at together in Romans. So if you would turn to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 5 through 11. Romans 6, 5 through 11. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, and alive to God in Christ. So we have both the death and the resurrection. We have the cross and we have the empty tomb. Both are vital to our salvation and to our relationship with Jesus. You know, here in our Western culture, philosophically, we are typically very black and white. Right, we're normally like one or the other kind of thing, but with the cross and with the empty tomb, we have to have both. Right, we need both. We can't. It's easy being in our Western culture to gravitate towards one or the other, but when it comes to the cross and the grave, we have to have both. Some will focus right on the cross, but then all the while neglecting to offer the life that comes through the empty tomb. Right, we've all heard people, you know, die to self, you know, but there's no hope, there's no life, there's no resurrection, right? But then we swing the other way, then we have all these people, you know, victory, right, and life and hope, but there's no repent or turn from your past, you know, turn from sin. There's no die to self, but we have to have both. We must deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. And all the while doing so, he gives us life and life more abundantly. So because Jesus was raised, we are not just dead with Christ, but we have been made alive with him, right? Both now and in the age to come. Again, the resurrection changes everything. So without the resurrection, we have dead faith, right? Our faith is in vain. Without the resurrection, then we have lies about God. Without the resurrection, then we are still dead in our sins. And without the resurrection, Paul says that we are of all people most pitied, right? We are of all people most pitied. Here, Paul is pointing again to the supernatural, eternal side of things. He's basically saying, guys and gals, if you don't believe in the resurrection, then what do you have to hope for, right? The Message translation of that verse says, if all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot, right? If all we get out of the story of Jesus and the life of Jesus is good inspiration, right? Then what's the point, right? As Paul says, then we're all a sorry lot. If we take the resurrection out of the equation, then what do we have to hope for once we're done on this earth? Nothing. But the resurrection changes that. Jesus' resurrection took death and defeated it. He told it where to go, and now we have the promise of eternal life in Jesus. If we are in Christ, we have the hope that when we breathe our last here on this earth, we are immediately in the presence of God. That's not just a nice teaching, it's not just a nice fairy tale, but rather the resurrection proves and gives us hope that the end here really isn't the end, right? The resurrection proves that the end here really is not the end for us. The resurrection gives us hope for today and hope for tomorrow. So as we've seen here tonight, the resurrection does change everything. It affects our faith. It affects what we know and have heard about God. It affects us in reference to salvation. And it actually affects our lives and what we hope in. So as we wrap this part up, I have a question for us to consider, to think on the topic of putting our hope in God. Are we actually living like Jesus is alive? Are we actually living like the resurrection happened? You know, we've seen how the resurrection changes everything, but has it really changed us? I mean, imagine for a moment, Jesus faced death, right? Death is one of those things that for most of us, right? For most of us, take Jesus out of the equation and we're freaking out about death, right? Death is a scary thing. You take Jesus out of the equation. But Jesus faced death for us, right? And he conquered it. He faced the grave for us. And he faced hell for us. So, a couple of ways that we can respond to tonight to this. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not an actual believer in Jesus. Okay? Maybe you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Christ. Today is your day. The resurrection happened so that you might have abundant life, both here on this earth and on the other side of eternity. Okay? Maybe that's you. Maybe you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Or maybe you're here and you're a believer in Jesus, but you're not actually living like he's alive. Okay? Maybe you're not actually living like he's alive. The resurrection actually affects the way, it actually should affect the way we think and the way we act and the way we live. Right? The resurrection should affect every dynamic of our lives. Death couldn't hold Jesus down. Death is, as I mentioned, death is generally seen as one of our greatest enemies, yet it could not conquer Jesus. The grave could not contain him, and hell, Jesus defeated that too. You know, maybe we're here tonight and the resurrection isn't actually affecting our lives. What I mean by that is maybe we're so filled with worry and dread or so overwhelmed with the lack of hope, right? The resurrection gives us both hope for here and now and the age to come. The resurrection says that God is who he says he is, right? The resurrection says that he is faithful and that he is savior, that he is healer, that he is who he says he is. So maybe you're here tonight and you've lost hope because you feel maybe that God hasn't or isn't keeping up the end of his bargain. My heart and my prayer for you tonight is that you take another look at the resurrection and allow it to fill you with hope that God is faithful and he is true. One more thought, and then Matt and Allie are going to lead us in worship. So if you guys would go ahead and come. As I was praying today and just finishing up preparing for tonight, I felt the Lord speak to me, and he said, the resurrection takes an end and makes it a beginning. Right? The resurrection takes an end and makes it a beginning. So wherever you're at tonight, wherever you're at in life, if you're so full of discouragement and worry and fear or however that looks for you, okay, I would encourage you tonight that Jesus takes that in. You know, maybe you think it's all done. Maybe you think it's over. Maybe there's some situation in your life where you feel you have reached an end. Okay? I would encourage you in that Jesus takes those ends and makes them beginnings. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight, God. I thank you, Jesus. Lord, for the fact that you are not dead. Jesus, I thank you that you do take our ends and that you make them beginnings. Lord, we see how we thought your life was over. We thought your life was finished, yet it was only the beginning of something amazing. God, we thank you for the resurrection. Father, I pray that wherever we're at tonight, if we're here and we're not believers, we are not in relationship with you, I pray that tonight we would surrender our heart and our minds to you. That we would not just add you to our life, but that you would truly become our life. Father, I pray also for those of us here, maybe we feel like, God, we're just so full of despair and hopelessness because we're staring at a wall. God, I pray that tonight you would come and tear down that wall. God, for those of us that maybe feel like we've been lied to about you, God, would you come and breathe truth and life into our hearts and our minds once again? Lord, would you do that for us tonight, Jesus? Would you do that for us tonight? Thank you, Jesus.